This week, something new. We call it science diction. It's a little science history, the story of how a scientific word came to be, and what better place to start off our series of science diction with the word scientist. How did the word scientist come to be? Joining us now to talk more about that is my guest, Howard Markell. He's professor of the history of medicine at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He's also director of the Center for the History of Medicine there, and he joins us from WUOM out there in Arbor. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Well, thanks for having me, Ira.
The history of the word scientist is not that old a word, is it?
No, I was really amazed. It's only about 176 years old, to be precise. Came around in 1834, and a Cambridge University historian and philosopher of science named William coined it.
William again? Well, we missed that name.
William Whewell. It's spelled W-H-E-W-E-L-L, and he was of science. And you know, this was an early point in science, at least experimental science, when a lot of the game rules were actually being developed. So he was really quite an umpire and was consulting with people like Darwin and Faraday and a lot of other prominent scientists that we idolize today.
Mm-hmm. And so how did they get around to using that word?
Well, no one really knew what to call a scientist. There was all these different names like cultivators of science. And
wasn't there natural philosopher years?
Natural philosopher,
right.
Yes. And so he thought, you know, there's a lot of consilience, another word he came up with, a lot of jumping together of all fields of science. And we ought to come up with a word that refers to all of them. And so he was actually writing in 1834, and he came up with a terms. The first he considered was savants, or men of learning, but he dismissed that for both being presumptuous and French. He was British, as you recall. He also considered the German term Naturforscher, which is really naturalist, but he worried that some might make fun of that term, calling it nature poker or nature peeper. And as you just mentioned, natural philosopher was dismissed because it was simply too wide and too lofty a term.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, he came up with, by analogy with artist, that they might find the word scientist. But he had a few qualms about that because it was close to a few other words that were not held in high regard. The first was economist. That may still be true to this day. And the other was atheist, which was a real problematic term back in those days. But he came back to it nevertheless, and he said, you know, I think this is the word. A cultivator of science in general ought to be called a scientist, and a review of his work in Blackwell's magazine later on that year in 1840 described it even better. They said Leonardo da Vinci was mentally a seeker after truth. He was a scientist, while Correggio, who, as you may recall, liked to play with lightness and darkness, so the size of body parts, was an asserter of truth. He was an artist.
Hmm. How did he get to be friends with all those famous people? Faraday, Darwin.
Well, he was the master of Trinity College at Cambridge, so he had a very good position. He was also a fairly good scientist in his own right. He was a mineralogist. He wrote about geology. He wrote about oceanic tides, mathematics. So he was around, and he was actually writing a book that became very well known, The Philosophy of Inductive Science at this time, where he was trying to set up how do you come up with a hypothesis? How do you prove it? Should it be universal? And, you know, this all seems, you know, so basic to us today, but this case back in 1830s, 1840s, when real science as we understand it was just being laid out.
1-800-989-8255 is our number if you'd like to talk with Howard Markell about the origin of the word scientists. Howard, how do you come up with this stuff?
Well, I'm afraid to tell you because it's so easy. You may not ask me to come back. When you want to look up a word, any word, in English language, the best place to start is the Oxford English Dictionary because it not only gives you definitions of the word, but it tells you every point in English history where it first appeared.
Yeah.
You've got to look it up. But that's the fun of it because you never know what you're going to find, and it's always something good. And you find all these connections. And so finding out about that scientist was a relatively new word led to Whewell's works, and then it led to me finding about who his friends were and so on. I even learned that He died, unfortunately, falling off a horse at the age of 71. But it's really just, you know, you start with that Oxford English Dictionary and you're off to the races. And so, you know, it's so much fun looking up things. So I hope the listeners want to do that as well.
You know, it seems like there was a sort of an evolution. The first words that you mentioned were ended in ER, nature poker, nature peeper, natural philosopher. And now it seems like you take the words and you put an ist, a scientist, naturalist, you know, biologist.
Geologist.
Yeah. they just decide, well, we're going to go with that kind of ending. We'll take the same things, the disciplines that these people do, and we'll just put an ist on it instead.
Well, what's really neat is that it all comes from the word artist. And, you know, often there's great art and great science, just as there often is great science and great arts. I think it's a really neat coming together. Mm-hmm.
Is there another source that's just as good besides the OED or maybe other sources? I mean, is the internet? The internet must serve now as a great source to find the history of all these words.
Well, the internet is wonderful because once you find all, and you can do this on internet, you know, services as well, then you can find the books without even, God forbid, going to the library at all. You can actually find the books on the internet. And that's really quite easy, too. So you can do it really from your home.
Of course, you always have to, as everything in the internet, you have to watch out for the source, right?
Absolutely. You don't want to go to Bob's really cool word site as opposed to the Oxford English Dictionary. So you want to weigh your sources just as you would between bound covers. Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily judge a book by its cover, and you can't judge an internet source by its webpage.
What other juicy words are you investigating now?
Well, we're working on a few. X-ray is really a fun term. You know, we talk about it, but where did that come from? But what would really be great is if the listeners try to come up with their own words of what they want to find out, and I'll be happy to look them up for you. But there's so many terms in science that we can find out together. Also in medicine as well. You know, the sky is really the limit. But we can find out also fields about, for example, orthopedics, the bone doctors, you know, doctors of broken bones. That comes from bent bone, which often had bent bone. Born with birth defects. One thing leads to another.
Yeah. We're talking with Howard Markel this hour on Science Friday from NPR. There's nothing wrong with your radio. Hear little dropouts. That's because we're in the digital age, and digital lines are sometimes a little finicky as they try to get all those packets to go to the same place at the same time and put themselves back together. So if you hear a little dropout, please hang in there with us. And I guess new scientific terms, Howard, are now being born all the time as we have new disciplines coming up.
Yeah, you know, the technical term for that is neologism, where you combine two different to come up with a new meaning. It also, as I recall from my medical school days, is a sign or symptom of schizophrenia. So you have to be careful about the new words that you invent. But, you know, we're doing this all the time when we come up with, you know, blog, weblog, or website, or all these kinds of things.
Tweeting or Twittering.
Yeah.
But even new disciplines that were not around years ago, like nanotechnology.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what's so great. I mean, linguists always talk about how language changes with each time period, but I don't think anywhere more true anywhere than in the world of science and medicine. Yes,
are there words that are just no longer used anymore? That science words that were in the common vernacular that you never hear anymore.
Well, you brought up naturalist, for example, which was a very popular word. I remember the first time I saw that was reading Dr. Doolittle books. I don't think anyone reads him anymore.
Danny Young.
You may recall.
That's right.
He was a naturalist. And there's all sorts of medical terms as well, or spellings of terms, like surgeon, chirurgical. With a CHI was the older term for surgical. Physic. But it means an internist or an internal specialist. You deal with the internal part of the body.
Mm-hmm. And even the spelling of things, right? Just the spelling
of
things.
Yeah, they change too.
Yeah. So what's the biggest challenge then for someone who wants to follow words, for a historian? Is it finding resources to find out who was first? Because I know in science, one of the hardest things in science is when you discover who you think was the first, there's always someone who was firster before that one.
And I've learned long
historian never to say anyone was first because I automatically get a call or an email or a letter saying no. So, but you can get an approximation. What the Oxford English Dictionary does in terms of first is that they use the first time appeared in print.
Yeah. Well, given the state of our phone line, I don't want people to keep filling in the blanks, Howard. I want to thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you very much. We'll continue with our series of science diction, Paige. In fact, if you have an idea or word you'd like to hear in science diction, leave a comment on our science diction page at sciencefriday.com. We'll shoot them over to Howard, and Howard can help us find some words for you. So thanks for being with us today, Howard.
Oh, thanks so much, Ira.
You're welcome. Howard Markell is professor of the history of medicine at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He's also director of the Center for the History of Medicine there, and he joins us from WUOM in Ann Arbor. That's about all the time we have for today. Surf over to our website. Well, if you want to leave us a science fiction word while you're there, you can also look at our video pick of the week, Flora's video pick of the week, of the red-eyed tree frog. Great little frog that's shaking up the branches out there. Also, take our survey. We have a new survey. We want to know about who you are, whom you are, whichever is grammatically correct. And so just click on the button. There are just a few questions. We'll ask you about what you like, what your preferences are, how you like Science Friday, where you hear it. Click on that, and we'll take that little survey. And you can also take Science Friday with you on your iPhone app. Click on there and go to iTunes, and you can also leave us some email there, or you can send it the old-fashioned way. But go to our website. Everything is there in one spot. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.